House will come to order. Thank you all for waiting on me. I appreciate it. Members of the House, since 1994, a legislative scholarship has been presented to an exceptional student from one of Wyoming's community colleges or the University of Wyoming. Each year, the Wyoming Legislature sponsors the Legislative Internship Program, which allows students enrolled at an institution of higher education to obtain credit, along with a unique insight into the legislative institution and its vital responsibility in creating public policy. Intern coordinator LaVonda Kopsa is joining us on the floor this afternoon, along with two interns that will receive this year's award. Malia Daly is currently attending Western Wyoming Community College and will have earned an Associate of Arts in History at the end of this semester. She plans to continue to work toward her bachelor's degree in history at Brigham Young University. Tanner Peterson is also attending Western Wyoming Community College and will complete her Associate of Arts in Communications this spring. She plans to work toward a double bachelor's degree in political science and communications, likely at the University of Utah. Please welcome these students to the floor. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 289, Mr. Speaker. The Senate did concur on House amendment to the bill listed below. That's Senate File 75, Criminal Trespass to Collect Data Amendments, Ayes 20, Noes 10, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 290, Mr. Speaker. The Senate did concur on the House amendment to bill Senate File 76, Civil Trespass to Collect Data Dash Amendments, Ayes 19, Noes 11, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 291, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment to Senate File 97, Student and School Safety Call Center, Ayes 29, Noes 1, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 292, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill Senate File 58, Involuntary Hospitalization and Treatment, Ayes 29, Noes 1, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 293, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment to Senate File 72, 70 miles per hour speed limit, dash state highways, Ayes 26, Noes 4, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 294, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on the House amendment to the bill listed below, Senate File 73, Welfare Fraud Prevention, Ayes 29, Noes 1, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 295, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 88, State Lands Within Grand Teton National Park. The Senate failed to concur on House amendment listed above. That's, again, Senate File 88, Ayes 29, Noes 29, Excused 1, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 296, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment to the bill, Senate File 91, State Penal Facilities Review, Ayes 29, 1 no, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 297, Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 3. Chairman will be Senator Meyer, be Senator Peterson, Senator Rothfuss. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Conference Committee on Senate File 3, Sawanasser Dave, Chairman, Reeder and Laux. Conference Committee on House Bill 19, Northrop Chair, Summers and Harshman. Conference Committee on House Bill 97, Winters, Chairman, Greer and Eklund. We're on that order of business of signing of enrolled acts. The first act for our consideration is enrolled act number 48. The reading clerk will read the act.
Sorry. Did you read this already?
You're mine. Right here.
I know. Read it. I'm going to. Thank you very much. Enrolled Act Number 48 from Original House Bill 50, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 48 being Original House Bill 50. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 49. The reading clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act Number 49 from Original House Bill 29, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 49 being Original House Bill 29. I have so signed. Next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 50. The reading clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act Number 50 from House Bill 53, an act relating to the administration of government.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 50 being Original House Bill 53. I have so signed.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Blackburn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, 63rd, I just want to take a minute, a little time, to thank you. Yeah, I want to thank you for serving your state, helping one another work through this budget session. I want to thank you for helping me. You know, I appreciate each and every one of you for helping me to understand the bills, for understanding the budget, and many more things. I know that all of you are so willing to help one another that the willingness, even when frustrated, sad, glad, and happy, you still have time to pat a back, say good job, and, you know, even sometimes say, what were you thinking, Representative? You know, I see in each and every one of you, you do that with one another. And I look at you with a little happiness in my heart, because every one of us together did the best job we could I think, for our state, our neighbors, and our friends through this budget session. But I also look at you in the face, and I have a little sadness because I know that all of us won't be here together next term. I wish we were all here. Which, ladies and gentlemen, brings me to a special time to tell you a story. Because the Speaker and I are old Navy guys, I want to tell you a little about the Navy in our generation. You see, I look at this area that we're in right now as our ship. So all of you are ship's crew. We're all shipmates. We all have a common goal. On every ship, there's a quarterdeck. Quarterdecks are where people come and go from the ship. This would be our quarterdeck. Every ship has a bridge. The bridge would be the speaker's chair. So that's where all the decisions, the final decisions and the controls are made on the ship and in this house. So we are, who's totally responsible for that? The captain of the ship, right? That means that our speaker here is the captain of the ship. Well, I come to find out the speaker and I were on the same kind of ship. It was a destroyer. They were called Greyhounds of the Sea. They were pretty fast and they were pretty effective. Mine was a little bit older than his by 20 or 30 years. So what are some of the things that men did on these ships when not working? Well, we listened and learned from men who sailed and fought in World War II and Korea and in times of peace. We learned and used rope, string, canvas, knots, bone, even ivory to make scrimshaw, fancy knotwork on rails, decks, macrame. You remember the word macrame because a lot of you probably did that in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Okay. We cared and loved for our ship, just like each and every one of you cares and loves your state. We learned and sang sea shanties, which some go back to the days of mast and sail. Songs about a sailor sometimes with a girl in every port.
Singing bell-bottom trousers, coats of navy blue. Let him climb the rigging like his daddy used to do. If it's a girl, bounce her on your knee. If you have a boy, send him out to sea. Singing bell-bottom trousers, coats of navy blue. Let him climb the rigging like his daddy used to do. If it is a girl, bounce her on your knee. If you have a boy, send him out to sea. Singing bell-bottom trousers, coats of navy blue. Let him climb the rigging like his daddy used to do.
Most importantly, we were young, and we learned to be men. We learned to trust, honor, and respect. Yes, the kind of trust, honor, and respect that I personally have for each and every one of you, and I see that each and every one of you has for one another. Every day I see that in this house. I've asked the veterans of the 63rd, the military veterans of the 63rd, to assemble here on the quarterdeck. Gentlemen. Now I turn my attention and yours to the bridge. There sits our captain. Sit down. Speaker Brown. Thank you. I say thank you, sir, first for serving your country, secondly for serving your state, and for your help and guidance for the hands of the legislators, myself, and our fellow shipmates out here. Speaker, this is about you today. Each and every branch of the armed services has its own customs and ceremonies. This is just a little Navy ceremony. It won't take too long. Okay. Speaker, you will soon be giving the command to another. This may be the last time that you're on this bridge. Some people ask me, what is that around your neck today, Jim? Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is called a lanyard. It's used to carry a bosun's pipe. Bosun's pipes have been used since the times of sail and rigging. They're used to call men from the tallest masts and around the ship. They're even used today. This particular lanyard I made 50 years ago. Didn't quite finish it. And this pipe I was given to me by a chief bosun mate who fought in World War II in Korea. It was given to him by somebody from before World War I, and before that, somebody from World War I. Well, what page am I on? A call to everything from battle stations to chow. That's what this pipe was used for. Chow, that's like dinner and supper. Okay. You guys know, right? There is a special call that we use when the captain leaves the ship. And it kind of goes like this.
So as the speaker leaves, the 63rd Ship's Company, stand by your desk for the Captain Speaker Brown, final inspection and farewell.
Well, thank you. That's pretty hard to keep my composure. I love every one of you. You know, there's one thing Representative Blackburn and I were talking one day, and I don't talk about it very often, but I'll tell you one thing all of us have in common, that we're in the military. And I used to be sort of embarrassed to salute after I got out of the Navy, and I think part of that was the reception that we got when we came home. I just put my head down and went to law school and didn't pay any attention, but it was really a rough time. But I think every one of us that's been in the service, and especially during wartime, I think we come home and sooner or later we get to this little deal that goes around in your head, well, how come I'm here? How come I came home? And I think one of the reasons I started saluting, and I do it pretty regularly now, is because there have been so few people that are in the military, and they need to know that there are people in their community who were in the military, and it's about the only way we have to really show that. And the other thing it does is for every one of us that salutes, we should always think about how many people we represent that never came home. And I think it's one of the things that drives us. Sometimes we came home and we said, well, I don't know why I'm here. It's easy for us Presbyterians because we're all about predestination, you know. But the rest of them have a tough time. And no, I think we think about that. You get that little mind game going in your head about why did I come home and why did those other people. And, you know, on that destroyer I was on in the Gulf of Tonkin, we used to go down, especially at night, you'd go down at CIC. That's a combat information center, and it's the next deck below the bridge. When you look at a Navy destroyer and you see that row of windows, that's the bridge. The next deck down has no windows. That's where all the electronic warfare is, the phased array radar, the firing mechanisms for the missiles, all that stuff is in combat information center. We used to go down in there at night, or we'd be down there. That's where all the radio stuff was and radio interference. We had radios on that ship. I could sit in the Gulf of Tonkin and listen to K2 and Casper like I was sitting under the tower. And we'd sit there in CIC at night doing our job, and you could hear them fighting, and you could hear guys dying right on the radio when we're sitting in CIC. And so you come home and you say, why am I here? Why did I get the gig I got, and they got the gig they got? And it's a little mind game that I'm not sure that you ever get over. And so I think a lot of us come home and say, we were apparently spared and sent back here to do something. And it wasn't just to consume oxygen and food. And so I think some of us are driven to public service and driven to achievement in our life just because we feel like that's the reason that we're here and that's what we're supposed to do. So, that's whenever something like this happens, that little mind game starts again in my mind, and it's always tough. So what I'd like all of our veterans to do that were so kind is to do this for me today. I think if you all don't mind, I'd like to have each of them come up here and just tell us their rank and what branch of the service they were in, how many years, and maybe kind of what they did. And I think I've talked about enough about myself. So if you guys would come up, Tyler, Jim, come up here and just tell us a little bit about what you did, especially your rank and your branch of service and what your service was in the military, maybe how many years you were in. I can't blow that thing. I'll make a mess. You blow it.
No. I'm done. You're lucky I got that much.
Theodore James Blackburn, serial number 330-7935. And as a prisoner of war, here, that's all I'm giving you. It's all I'm required to give you by the Geneva Convention. But I served from 1960 to 1964. I also sailed the Gulf of Tonkin, but unlike the captain here, my ship was a little older. It was commissioned in 1943, so we actually had to stuff the bullets in the front, you know, with the... No, not really. It was a lot older ship. We didn't have the CIC like you had on your destroyer. I didn't make much rank when I was in the Navy because I was ornery and I drank too much and But I had a good time. I made a lot of good friends. And I've made a lot of good friends here.
So I was U.S. Navy from 01 to 06. I got a little more salt on me, though. I was on the Abraham Lincoln. I was also on the USS Shoup and the USS Shiloh. We did a lot of hopping around because we were an aviation squadron. We were also the first ones on scene for the tsunami in Indonesia. So that was a different deal. But I made, much like Representative Blackburn, I don't know what the deal is with us Navy guys. I got in a little bit of trouble while I was in there. Been to Captain's Mass. You been to Captain's Mass?
No, I haven't. I really haven't.
That's about it for me.
Got to pull that down after him. My story is a little different. I graduated from high school in 1953, and the Korean War was going on, and they were nationalizing a lot of people. And what I did is I joined the National Guard. We decided that we would, that way we'd at least be with people we knew, and we thought that was a good thing. They nationalized all of the guard in the state of Wyoming except one unit. They wanted to keep one unit in town. I happened to be in that unit. So I was on my way, I thought, to Korea, and it didn't come until quite a bit later. I stayed in the military as a civilian and National Guard and so forth. I got my commission from the University of Wyoming, and at that time things were cooling down enough that I didn't have to go immediately in the service. That was the deal. Anyway, in that time I got to go from there to another military operation, and that was trying to shoot down the Sputniks. And I got a job there, and I had that for a year. And it was all because of the military in one way or another. Last but not least, I ended up going to Korea. And I went through some intelligence training, and it had to do with secret stuff that you were doing. And so when I went to Korea, I was most of the time one officer with 90 enlisted men on an island with 7x24 operations, didn't get a chance to do very much, but I grew up very fast, and I applied my skills in that we had the only radio of the ball games in the state that anybody else has, because as the good speaker said, we had some pretty good stuff. But one of the hooks I got into was that I made a pledge, as all of us had to do on that area, was that we wouldn't tell anybody what we did for 25 years. So I got out of the military, and I'd go to one of these clubs, the veterans deals, and they'd say, "What'd you do in the military?" And I'd go, I couldn't tell. So 25 years later, nobody cares. Anyway, it was a good experience, and I appreciate the fact I can tell about it now if anyone wants to listen.
Some of you have asked me why at my desk it's Jerry D. Paxton. Well, because in the Army at the time I was in, you didn't have a choice. You used your middle initial, so it's Jerry D. Paxton, U.S. 5640718. And that's drilled in your head for the rest of your life, something you'll never forget. I was in the U.S. Army. I was a military policeman. That might be because my attitude kind of followed me, I think, in some respects. It was good training to be a high school principal, I can tell you that for sure. I was stationed, went in 1965, got out in 1967, was stationed in Nuremberg, Germany with 793rd MP Battalion, and probably the most exciting combat I saw was breaking up bar fights, and there were plenty of those, I guess, too. But anyway, I went to school at the University of Wyoming as soon as I got out of the Army, and began my career as an educator, and I've been downhill ever since. Here I am.
Mr. Speaker, my drill sergeant used to pronounce my name Griar, not just Gur, okay? I like Gur better. No, I served 2 years in the Army. I was stationed near Mainz in West Germany, and there in 85 and 87, I was just in air defense artillery with a Stinger missile, and so we just practiced and trained shooting down Soviet helicopters all the time. And just a little story, as I remember, we were up in the Fulda Gap, which is where they were going to come through at that point in time, and our firing positions, and look over the binoculars, and these German soldiers are there, and I lean over to one of the guys, and I said, because we never had bullets in our guns. I said, do you think they have bullets in their guns? You know, but no, I'm happy for my service, but really, probably more importantly, is both my brothers served, and my youngest brother was on a Bradley fighting vehicle, and he was right in on one of the bridges in Bad Dag, and had a sniper take a couple shots at him, and so he's doing well today. But hey, I went in and did my part, but not that big of a deal. I'm proud to do it.
Mr. Speaker. So, Eric S. Barlow, 520-664313, Sergeant, United States Marine Corps. I was in the Cold War, and that is that strange period right before the Berlin Wall came down, where literally we were watching off the coast of North Carolina or California for a Soviet invasion. And I was in electronic warfare type of things. But the story of my service is actually when I made the decision to go in. And the decision was I was milking the cow in the shed over here, and the phone rings in the shop over there, and it's a beautiful April evening after school, just dusk. And my dad says, Eric, you got a phone call. So I walk across, leave the cow, walk across. It was a recruiter, and he said, well, you're going to do this? Your buddy Jim's doing it. And I said, yep, I'll be there in the morning. I was 17 at the time. And I'm walking back across, and my mom said, well, what was that? Because that's a recruiter. I just told him I was going to go in the military. She goes, well, that's going to be tough. And I said, probably not tougher than here.
Oh, well, I just want to mention a couple more things. Matt Green has been in town this week, and I had high hopes. I've been texting with him all week, and I had high hopes he'd come over and see us. I thought he was going to come over yesterday, and then he texted me, and he couldn't come. He said, I'll have to come over in uniform if I come. I said, I think that'd be fantastic. But Matt Green is a light colonel. That's two steps above me, and he outranks everybody in here, and he's doing a wonderful job. I think you can tell the attitude with these guys. And when I really learned leadership was in the Gulf of Tonkin, when we had guys like these guys who were supposed to be out. Their term was out, and they were getting out, and the Navy wouldn't let them out. And I was supposed to get them to do something every day. And that's when I really learned leadership. So, and I like to say I was really in the Navy. I sort of was in the Navy for 7 years because I spent 4 years in the Navy, but then I came home, and the Navy gave me three more years. I went to law school for free on the GI Bill, and I guess if that were a message that I'd give to young people today, I heard another story on public radio this morning about student debt and how these kids are getting out of school with like $150,000 in debt, and it's crazy, and they have the opportunity, and you got to kick them in the rear end to get them to go do it. They have the opportunity to go to the military, get life experiences, grow up, and come back and go come back home and go to school for free. And I wish we could make more of them realize that opportunity is available to them. Because I think it's a wonderful opportunity that kids in this country are just walking away from. So that's it. I'll go back up and we'll adjourn. And thank you so much. I tell you, it's a humbling day.
Go Army!
Hang on, we're going to do a couple more enrolled acts before we quit.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barlow.
Privilege of the floor.
Yes, please.
If I could, you know, there's one more Marine in the House, and we should note that we have a Marine behind me, and Mike Brown is a proud Marine as well.
Mike, would you just go to the podium and give us the same description about your military service, please?
I heard the talk about Captain's Mast and brought back some memories. I was, went in the Marine Corps in 1959, middle of my senior year in high school. I was having some problems, and my mother decided that she was getting a little old to try and straighten me out, but she knew someone that could, and she was right. So I was in 59 to 63. In two of those years, I was an MP at the Naval Air Station at Suga, Japan, protecting these poor Navy guys that were out getting in trouble. And I've always felt that I paid my debt to humanity those 2 years. I left Lance Corporal, and I was 1677, 598, like the rest of you. Thank you.
You know, and while we're still on that, many people in this House served with Dave Edwards, Representative Dave Edwards from Douglas, who was quite a character. But he was a Navy pilot. He was a really unique individual. He was a Navy pilot all his career. He retired as a captain in 06. He had 1,079 carrier landings. That is a big deal. At the time he hit 1,000 carrier landings, I think there were only about 25 people that had ever done that many. It's an extremely difficult thing to do. And we were talking one day, trying not to use proper names, and somebody said something about the man with the 1,079 carrier landings, and I said, well, if it makes any difference, he made 1,080 takeoffs. And he left one in the Gulf of Tonkin, which is quite a story. So he's deceased, but he was a joy to have with us when he served in this body.
Since we're all taking a pass at different people in the military, the Army had an expression, you can always tell a Marine, but you can't tell him much.
Where?
Mr. Speaker.
Are you serious? Representative Blackburn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, 63rd shipmates, should be 2 to 3 weeks, and we'll be able to have copies of this proceedings for you. I had the Army Guard tape that for us, so just let me know if you want a copy.
Representative Blackburn, I'm told that we have another thorn in our side. It seems that the reading clerk was also in the military.
Mr. Speaker, I have not a clue, but let's hear his story.
If he has a clue, we'd love to hear it.
When have I ever had a clue? Anyway, yes, I was in. My outfit was like WKRP, Good Morning Vietnam, and MASH all rolled into one. So we were in constant trouble the entire time, and for some reason they kept promoting us. I could never figure it out. I figured that if I stayed in another year, I'd have been a general. But anyway, it was interesting. The sad part about it was when I came home. That was the roughest part. Man, they didn't tell you about it, and we had to learn it on our own. Yep, don't want to go through that again.
Well, thank you for your service. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Autographs will be available.
Okay, enough of that. The first enrolled act for our consideration is enrolled act number 44, Senate. The reading clerk will read the act.
Enrolled act number 44 from file number 74 from the Senate, an act relating to mines and minerals.
I'm about to sign enrolled act number 45, Senate being original Senate file 36. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is enrolled act number 46, Senate. The reading.
Wait, which one we got? I got too many paper clips here. 48. I'm sorry.
The next enrolled act for our consideration is enrolled act number 44, Senate being original Senate file 74. The clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act number 44 from Senate File 74, an act relating to mines and minerals. Okay.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 44, Senate being original Senate File 74. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 46, Senate. The clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act number 46 from Senate File 18. An act relating to capital construction.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 46, Senate being original Senate file 18. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 47, Senate. The reading clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act number 47 from Senate file 101, an act relating to public health.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 47, being original Senate file 101. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 48, Senate. The clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act number 48 from Senate file 45, an act relating to rural health care districts.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 48, Senate, being original Senate file 45. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 49, Senate. The clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act number 49 from Senate file 57, an act relating to public health and safety.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 49, Senate, being original Senate file 57. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 50. Senate, the clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act number 50 from Senate File 37, an act relating to boards and commissions.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 50, Senate being original Senate File 37. I have so signed. Ladies and gentlemen, I think maybe what we'll do is stand at ease and for about 10 minutes. And if we don't get anything else, we'll we'll adjourn for the day. But let's just stand at ease for about 10 minutes and see if anything comes in. The more we can get done today, the better it'll be tomorrow. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 298. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 2 from the House on amendments to Senate File 42. Senator Boner, Chairman, Senator Case, Senator Scott. The Senate requests the House appointed Conference Committee number 1 to meet with the Light Committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 299. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 88. Senator Bebout, Chairman, Senator Coe, Senator Wassenberger. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the Light Committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Conference Committee on Senate File 88 will be Petroff, Chairman, Zwanitzer-Dan, and Representative Bartlow. Madam Majority Floor Leader, that clears the deck.
Captain, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, March 4th, 2016.
You've heard the motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. We're adjourned.